Thanks so much for listening to Take 10 with We Coach, a new initiative we launched in response to the given current landscape, aimed at offering quick 10-minute interviews with coaches and industry influencers as we adjust to a new virtual reality. Today, I get the chance to sit down with We Coach board member and Pac-12 Senior Associate Commissioner, Teresa Gold. First off, Teresa, thanks so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity, Megan.
How are you holding up? How are your schools holding up amidst all the uncertainty?
You know, we are doing well. We are taking it day by day. We are getting up every morning and really trying to stay focused on the 7,000 student athletes that we serve. We are working hard from the center, from the conference office, to make sure that we're communicating, staying very connected to our membership, and really keeping our eye on the prize in terms of why we're here and what our mission is around our 7,000 student athletes.
Right. And I it feels like yesterday, it's been about 2.5 weeks ago now that I saw you in Vegas at your Pac-12 women's tournament. How do you even describe, because once it started to topple, it toppled pretty quickly. How do you even describe what those first few days were like?
It was surreal. I mean, now, I guess 12 days later, kind of looking back, you know, it really doesn't seem real. I was in Vegas and I was fortunate enough to make it all the way through our women's basketball championship, which on a lot of levels was the most successful women's basketball championship we've ever had in terms of television ratings, in terms of crowds, just in terms of kind of national profile of our women's basketball product. So I'm super grateful that we made it through that event because it was a really special event. And then unfortunately, our men's basketball tournament in Las Vegas the following week was cut short. So it was really difficult because the state of COVID-19 was changing so rapidly across this country. And I feel like as a leader, you know, we were working really hard to put contingency plans in place, and you would spend, you know, 3 or 4 hours on a plan that in a matter of 15 minutes would go out the window. So I learned a lot, you know, I've learned a lot from this, and yet it is, I think that this will be a year that none of us will forget anytime soon. It has just been, you know, heartbreaking on so many levels, and yet has challenged all of us as leaders to be our best and stay focused on why we're here.
Well, and, you know, I want to dive into those contingency plans a little bit. Given this such unprecedented territory, did you have some plans in place, or literally you were writing as we were living this reality?
Well, I would say that I think everybody on our leadership team at the Pac-12, certainly as the coronavirus started to spread and it was clear that, you know, we had a national crisis on our hands, I think all of us have our own kind of mini crisis management plans. I'm really fortunate, Megan, as you know, I spent 20 years working on Division I campuses. So I think those 20 years of experience, you know, made me somewhat well-versed in crisis management of all different types. So I think all of us at least had kind of a mini laundry list of what are the critical issues in our area? How do we get membership alignment? How do we, you know, tackle these things to make sure that we're prepared to react swiftly and yet thoughtfully at the same time?
Well, and now, I mean, I know from an administrator perspective, and it probably is even amplified a little bit at the conference level because you're managing a number of institutions. Talk about that communication. You alluded to it in your opening comments. Talk about the communication, that connectedness.
Sure. I mean, I would say that, you know, as any leader knows, communication is absolutely critical and yet really difficult during times like this. And it seems so simple, but when you're serving so many different stakeholders and information is changing so rapidly, it's really hard to stay on top of. And, you know, when you work in a conference office, it's not dissimilar to being on a campus in that you have student athletes, you have parents, you have alumni, donors, sponsors, staff, you know, coaches. There's so many different stakeholders that you're trying to serve, so many different stakeholders that you're trying to keep briefed, and stakeholders that you're trying to include in decision-making. I think throughout the NCAA right now, decision-making in response to COVID-19 has been thoughtful, but it's also been moving very quickly. compared to our normal governance process. And so it's been a real challenge for us to figure out how do we make sure that we're including the right people in the conversations and still react swiftly to be prepared to take a position on issues that are really important to our student athletes.
Well, I think just with how fast information was becoming available and how fast things were moving, it was making it a challenge, period, the end, regardless of how many stakeholders may be at the table.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing as a leader that I've never been great at, quite candidly, that I've learned through this process is, number one, to really appreciate the teams that we have around us and to delegate, right? I think this is the kind of time when, as a leader, it's critically important that you acknowledge that you're surrounded by extraordinary talent that can take things off of your plate. And it's been something I've just been forced to do. And I'm really fortunate. I have a pretty large team and a really talented team that have all stepped up and said, hey, what can I take off your plate? And it's kind of forced me to improve my delegation skills, I guess.
Hey, at least I know you're working on something from home.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do want to know, because once we got through that whole first wave of everything being canceled and then now we're into a new set of challenges, what are the challenges specific to your conference? And then let's take that and look at it from the national scale.
Sure. I mean, I think there are a lot of challenges, right? Certainly every conference, whether you're an autonomy five down to, you know, the non-autonomy fives are concerned and waiting to see what the financial impact of all of this is, whether it's the financial impact, you know, from the NCAA, whether it's the financial impact of not being able to finish a men's basketball tournament that is a revenue generator, like regardless of where the impact is, there's impact. And, you know, we're all mission-driven organizations and those resources are important for us to deliver on that mission. So I think that's front of mind for all leaders in this business. I think the other piece of that that kind of goes hand in hand is the health and well-being and wellness of our student athletes is also front of mind. You know, we're in a new normal, as you just said earlier, Megan, and, you know, our student athletes are not used to not being together. They're not used to, you know, not having that connectedness and that sense of family and that sense of community that you have within your team and on your campus. And so, you know, those issues are all front of mind and we're brainstorming about, you know, we have to do the right thing in terms of health and safety for our country. We also have to make sure that our individual commitments to the young people that we serve are maintained as well and figuring out how to do that creatively in this new climate.
Well, and before we started recording, you and I were just catching up a little bit, and then you are one of the conferences that have your own network, and so the loss of all of those games, and now what do you do with the network, that in and of itself is probably quite a feat.
Yeah, that's been a big focus of our leadership team over the last few days as well. Like, we're really fortunate in that we are the only conference in the country that owns and operates our own network. So we have control over our content and what we put on the air. And I think during this time period, you know, our focus is a couple different things. I would say number one, being good citizens and how do we leverage that network to get information and PSAs out to our communities and our fans to support health and safety around COVID-19. So how do we leverage our platforms to make sure that we're doing good with it and that we're getting information out to help people make good decisions during this time. And then I would say the second thing is, given all of the live events that we lost and all of the shows that we lost, our second focus, aside from being good citizens, is really around student athletes and how do we celebrate our student athletes. So for all those winter sports student athletes that didn't have an appropriate end to their season, for all of those spring sports student athletes, how do we leverage the network to continue to celebrate them even though their season was cut short? We obviously just had an announcement yesterday, Sabrina Ionescu, the National Player of the Year. How do we illuminate that through our network? How do we look at our spring sports, you know, UCLA softball, defending national champions? How do we recognize our seniors? Do we do senior shout outs? Do we have student athletes come on the air and do, you know, messages to their peers? Like, how do we really recognize and celebrate and connect our stakeholders through the network? That has really been our focus for the remainder of this academic year.
Right. And you have always been leaders in the technology space. So is your life basically conference calls and video calls all day long now?
It is 100%. I'll tell you, I've had to get really comfortable in a technology space that is not natural to me. And I honestly think, Megan, that aside from all of the heartbreak and disappointment that has been characteristic of this time period, there's also been a lot of creativity and a lot of innovation. And it's really required all of us, like even folks like myself that have been in this business for 32 years, it's required us to step up and get a little bit out of our comfort zone and get comfortable in a technology space that is, you know, different than how we've been operating for most of our careers. So there are positives that are coming out of it and growth and development for sure.
So what's the best thing you've found from working at home and not having to commute in every day?
I would say that number one, because my commute, as you know, is about 2.5 hours round trip, I am getting more workout time in for sure. I am eating healthier because I have more quick access to really good, healthy foods, and I'm spending more time with my family. And all of those things are things that I think are silver linings of this that don't necessarily happen. I think you're familiar. I have a 2-career family. So 2 people who normally work 70 hours a week is not always the best. And this window of opportunity has been great in terms of my own personal wellness and in terms of spending time with my family. So those have been real positives for sure.
Sounds like the epitome of well-being right there.
Absolutely. We'll have to see. We'll have to all work really hard to maintain that, right?
when we go, I keep saying we're not going back to normal. We are pivoting forward to a new normal. So when we get to a new normal, yes, we're all going to have to work out really hard to keep up with what we were able to do in this little pause here. Teresa, I can't thank you enough. Thanks for sharing 10 minutes with us. Thanks for sharing your insight, especially from a conference perspective, a little different than being on campus or as a coach. So I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate your time, Megan. Really appreciate everything that you do for WeCoach.
Stay safe and healthy.
All right.